Maybe Europe poses a bigger threat to American banks than the experts are letting on.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. For months now, most U.S. banking analysts have insisted that American banks wouldn't be brought down by a European financial crisis. But just to make sure, the Federal Reserve announced yesterday that it is going to put U.S. banks through a new round of stress tests. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, of course, the U.S. banks have already been through one round of stress tests after the financial crisis here in the U.S. Why this new round?
Well, the regulators are worried that Europe's in for a bumpy ride, which could cause a credit freeze not unlike the one that banks went through here in 2007 and 8. So the Fed is running some scenarios on the bank balance sheets, so like what would happen in a severe recession where growth falls as much as 8% and unemployment hits 13%. At his last news conference earlier this month, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke was asked about the effect of Europe on U.S. banks.
We can look at our own financial institutions and try to assess the exposures and the linkages between our institutions and those in Europe and the sovereign debt in Europe. And we've been doing that on a consistent basis.
But, you know, this is a much more formal, stepped-up process. Banks are going to be required to report back to the Fed on the results of these stress tests by the middle of January.
But, John, the European banks just went through a round of stress tests, and everybody said they were ineffective. They didn't really tell us how the banks were doing. Why do people think that the tests here are going to give investors more confidence?
Well, these are pretty severe scenarios designed to test whether the banks are resilient and that whether regulators are on top of the situation. We're just going to have to see.
Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, AAA says 42.5 million Americans will be traveling to their Thanksgiving destinations by car, plane, or maybe train. But as it turns out, airline travelers are less likely this year to be stranded on the tarmac, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
You might have heard this story. A pilot begs to get his passengers to a gate. They've been stranded on the tarmac for more than 7 hours.
I have a paraplegic on board that needs to come off. I have a diabetic on here that's got an issue. It's a list of things. I just got to get some help.
That happened in October at Bradley International Airport in Connecticut. The incident got a lot of media attention, but endless tarmac delays have actually become pretty rare. That's because of steep new penalties for delays over 3 hours. Hunter Kay is an airline analyst with the firm Wolf Trahan. He says airlines have pushed the wait back to the terminal, stranding travelers inside instead.
Tarmac delays are down because airlines are they're going to just taxi back and cancel the flight, as opposed to facing hundreds of thousands of dollars fines for large planes.
Last week, the Department of Transportation said it slapped American Eagle with a $900,000 fine for 15 delayed flights on a single day in May. Economics professor Jan Bruckner of the University of California, Irvine, says the fines are directed only at airlines, but they may not be the only ones at fault.
It's not just the pilots. There may be some airport institutions that play a role in this as well.
Airports said that they would never be part of the problem, but now we've seen a couple of big events where they have been.
Kate Hanna is the executive director of the consumer group Flyers Rights. The transportation department says there's no agency that oversees airports when it comes to consumer issues like tarmac delays. Hanna is pushing for every U.S. airport to have a plan for when bad weather or mechanical problems leave passengers stranded.
The biggest problem is that there's no communication, collaboration, or cooperation.
She says there's nothing like a fine to get agencies talking. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down between 1 and 2% this morning across Europe and Asia. Here in this country, the chairman of the FCC has come out against the proposed AT&T-T-Mobile merger. An FCC analysis found the merger would lead to higher prices for consumers and fewer U.S. jobs. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 53 points to close at 11,493.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Well, of course, as soon as the turkey is finished, or maybe before it's finished, many Americans will be heading to shopping malls and big box stores to get those Black Friday deals. And this year, if you do plan to be one of those discount hunters, make sure you bring your smartphone with you. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith explains.
Smartphone apps are making shoppers very smart. They can figure out how much other retailers are charging for something. They can read product reviews. They can even buy from a competitor in a rival store. Retail consultant Bert Flickinger.
There's a revolution in retail caused by smartphones.
Some retailers like Best Buy, Toys R Us, and Lowe's are embracing the revolution, handing smartphones out to employees and training them to work with tech-savvy shoppers. These employees are often empowered to give on-the-spot discounts.
So that puts real stress on the retail model.
Brand strategist Adam Hamft says brick-and-mortar retailers can't lower prices too much. They have to pay for overhead costs like leases and wages. So they have to find ways to make a store visit worth paying a little extra.
They need to really ratchet up this experience so that price differential will be worth it.
Hamft says, ironically enough, all of this new technology is just highlighting the importance of old-school retail values like customer service and expertise. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, to Cedar Falls, Iowa, where there appears to be a real-life Hamburglar. According to the Des Moines Register, a 21-year-old college student was hungry around 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, and he went to McDonald's to get a burger, but they were closed. So he broke the window, went inside, and grilled himself up some hamburger patties and fired up the deep fryer to make some French fries. It was all caught on video, though, curiously, he was not wearing stripes like the real Hamburglar. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.